Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
As Tony mentioned, this is, of course, Mother's Day. And we know when Jesus said that the greatest in the kingdom are those who serve, I think he may have been describing moms. I think when everything's revealed, Jesus returns and the reward he brings with him is revealed, what we're going to see is all the moms getting the first rewards, getting the in first place, the way they've served and loved. And so that is really, really incredible. It's upside down. The kingdom of heaven is upside down from the world. The world does not value the right things, doesn't value moms, motherhood like Jesus does, and we as the church really love moms. And so I want to introduce, not my mom, my wife, who is the mom of our children. We have 5 grown sons, and she is a superwoman. She, in the shadows, while I've been busy doing lots of other things, raising the kids, training the kids, educating the kids, loving the kids, nurturing the kids, watching out for them, providing, cooking, cleaning, all of those things. And that goes for a long time that season. It's super rewarding at the same time, but boy, is it a lot of work. And you are in the shadows, and you feel like sometimes you don't have a voice, and you're just never seen, all of those things. Of course, God sees that all. But she's an amazing person for adults as well, and she has a message today for us. Every time she speaks, people say to me, why don't you have her speak more often? Because she has great things to say, very anointed and gifted, and so I'm going to turn this over to my beautiful wife, Debbie.
Did you know that Mother's Day is the day of the year where there's the least amount of crime? And I think it's because all those moms are out there committing crimes on other days, but today, y'all are taking them out to brunch, so thank you for cutting down on crime today by taking your moms out to brunch. Whee. But seriously, as Matt was saying, there's so many paradoxes in the kingdom, right? The greatest among you will be the servant of all. That definitely talks about parenting, doesn't it? And another one, give, and it will be given back to you, contrary to what we think would happen. And then my first slide is taken from James 1:2. It says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Right? We don't think of our testings like that. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of us lacks wisdom, we should ask God, love this part, who gives generously without finding fault in you, but you must believe that he will give it to you and not doubt to receive. So that's our God who says, I care much more about your temporary happiness and joy in this moment, and more about that this trial is producing something in you that will make you stronger and stronger and dependent on me and closer to me, and I'm going to take care of you through the whole thing. It's contrary to how we like things. Well, how I like things. And today, my topic is living in a place of rest. How many of you love rest? Yeah. Jesus has purchased our rest. And in Hebrews 4, it says that we must labor, endeavor, give every effort to enter into rest. Doesn't that sound funny? Like, to rest, there's a lot of steps and a lot that we do to be in that rest, and we're going to unpack that today. Sound good? All right. Well, in order to talk about rest, we've got to talk about the first place of rest, and that all starts with the gospel that we've talked about this morning. And I know most of us have heard the gospel and we've received Jesus as our Savior. I want to talk to someone who's maybe never heard the gospel. I was about 21 years old the first time I ever heard the gospel. I'd been in church my whole life and had never heard it. And so every opportunity I get, I love to just take 2 minutes to just share the gospel simply as I can. And that would be that the requirement for eternity was that we would live a perfect life. and we would never break any laws of heaven, which means never sin, never make mistakes. And none of us have ever done it. No person could ever achieve it. And so all of us would be doomed and never be with God forever and together in relationship in this place. So Jesus came and did what we couldn't do. He lived a perfect life, and then he died a criminal's death, our criminal's death. And that means he died for every mistake we've ever made because he lived a perfect life, did it in our place. And then he offers to each person that if you will receive by faith, the currency is faith, what I did for you, I did it in your place. You need do nothing but receive me. Then if you receive me and give your life to me in exchange, you are forever mine. I will fill you with my spirit and give you the strength to live. It's the best deal on offer. Would you agree? And so if we're going to talk about rest, we cannot talk about rest in this world without first belonging to him. And so can we take 1 minute for if there'd be any person who's not received Jesus in faith as a Savior, it's now time to do that if you feel it in your heart that you want to belong to him. So God, we just pray a simple prayer. Thank you so much for what you did for us. You died our criminal's death in our place, and we receive it in faith. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We give our life to you in exchange, not to be lived perfectly, but to be lived with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That simple prayer causes us to be, I know this word, the world doesn't like it, born again. It's the most beautiful word in the world. Don't let the enemy trick you on that one. Born again just means like I've been born into a new kingdom. I'm forever with God here on this earth and in eternity. The most beautiful plan. Okay, the beginning of rest. Okay, so Hebrews 4, that's going to come on the screen next, I think. If we can do this one. Can I say the white and you say the orange? Let's do it. Okay, now the promise of entering into God's rest is still for us.
Today.
That's right. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all
embrace
the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they did not join their faith with the word. The Israelites did not join their faith with the word. We are not those people. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. For those of us who believe, faith is the activator, activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest. For he has said, I was grieved with them and made a solemn oath. They will not enter my rest. They didn't receive the promise of salvation and rest. God's works have all been completed from the foundations of the world. For it says in the scriptures, and on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again, as stated before, they will not enter my rest. And next slide. Those who first heard the good news of deliverance failed to enter into the realm of faith's rest because unbelieving hearts. Yet the fact remains that we still have the opportunity to enter into faith rest life and experience the fulfillment of the promise. For God still has ordained a day for us to enter into faith rest, and that day is called
today.
As we enter into God's faith rest life and cease from our own works, just as God celebrates his finished works and rests in them. Here's a great part. So then, we must be eager to, diligent, labor to experience this faith rest life so that no one falls short of following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. Thanks for participating. The first thing I'm going to talk about is mixture. And what I'm not talking about is mixture, meaning like, I did well today, I was following Jesus, then I took a wrong path, and I got frustrated with someone and angry, maybe I lied, and then I went back and I was following Jesus. That's not mixture, that's called growing in God, and we all need to do it. We're all making mistakes all the time. Like, if we could think of everything at the end of the day that we needed to, that we did wrong, it would be a big list, right? And so that is not mixture. Mixture isn't that we fail and we come back and we make things right and then we fail again and come back. And so I'm going to talk about what mixture is. And we have been reading this great book called by Joseph Prince. So when I refer to Prince, it's not like Purple Rain Prince. I'm talking about Joseph Prince. And he read this book called Destined to Reign. The Whitleys recommended it to us. It has rocked our world. And so I'm going to give a scenario. So you're at Harris Teeter, and you're rude to the cashier, right? You're just rude. You're having a bad day, and you're rude. And you walk out of Harris Teeter, and someone falls in the parking lot, and you are like, oh, I want to pray for this person. Ugh. Will God be with me? I was just so rude. Should I repent first? I was so rude to that person. Will the power of God still be within me? That is the mixture that I'm talking about that takes us out of rest, that we're right with God, and then we're not right with God. When the Bible says that he was slain before the foundations of the world, the blood is constantly flowing, we're living in forgiveness and wholeness, and what he has on offer, whether I had a bad moment or not, is available at all times. All times. I'm not in and out. I'm not coming and going. I am in it the whole time because of the obedience of Jesus and what he did. Okay? And so I even say to myself sometimes when I'm praying, I'm like, God, because of the obedience of Jesus, I ask you, it's not because I prayed more. It's not because I fasted. It's not faith in my faith. It's that the blood is flowing constantly to cover us, and everything's on offer at all times. It feels too good to be true because it is. And this is living without mixture and the only way to live in rest. Because if it's the other way, I'm okay, I'm not okay. I'm okay, I'm not okay. I'm living by the law and now I'm living by grace. And so we're going to just bump into some scriptures today that are just so powerful in totally convincing us that we are in this grace thing every moment of every day. And I'm talking to people who are in relationship with God, right? Is that who I'm talking to? This crowd are people who are like, I'm already convinced I love Jesus. I'm living for him. I'm already convinced his ways are the best. I'm a follower of Jesus. This is the crowd I'm talking to for this message. Okay, so the first slide is the Old Testament law of works and good deeds bringing us blessing and right relationship with God was never meant to be the solution for sinful man. It was put in place to allow us to see we could not do it, so that it would lead us to want to receive Jesus and his perfect sacrifice for us to live from. If you got a flat tire and you put one of those donut tires on, it's your temporary fix, but you're not going to be riding on that thing forever because it wasn't made for it, and neither was the law. The law was for a certain time to point us to Jesus, and then we live under that blood covering at all times, always in right relationship with God. Now, at that Harris Teeter story, I should go in and I should tell that lady to make right relationship with her that I'm sorry that I was rude. But as far as God not being okay with me, is living under the law. Next slide. If the first covenant of Old Testament, the law, had been faultless, there would be no need for a second covenant of the New Testament of grace. Let's move to the next one. All right, here's some mind-blowing things from this book that we read. The Ten Commandments were given, that was the law, the good deeds, and then 603 were added after that just so God would make sure that we knew we could not do these things. We couldn't perform it all in our own. It never was the idea. Relationship was the idea. When the commandments were given at Mount Sinai, 3,000 people were killed. And at Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved when the Holy Spirit was given. The law brings death, the Bible says, and the Spirit, life. Okay, next one, please. I gotta find out where I am. Okay. He unpacks this scripture that I've been pondering on. So, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And he unpacks it by saying, when you're cold, that means you're someone who is living under the law. Maybe you've never heard of the Lord. Maybe you're just living for the world. You're cold. And when you're hot, you're living under grace, knowing that I'm in right relationship with God. Everything's on offer at all times. When you're lukewarm, you're living in both places. We're in conflict. And he says, I want that to be spewed out of my mouth. I don't want that. I don't want you, law and grace. I'm okay. I'm not okay. I thought that was powerful. I was on an airplane recently, and I was talking to this lady, and I'm trying also always to be organic and try to see if we can talk about something that has life on it with Jesus. And so I was like, she said something like, what do you do for a living? And sometimes when I say, I lead the kids department at my church, they don't want to talk to me anymore. But this lady continued to talk to me, and she said, I grew up in the church, and I've been part of Young Life, and I was very active at church camp. And she said, and I don't know why people make this so complicated. All you have to do is be a good person and believe in God, and you're good to go. I thought, oh, okay. I said, well, I do think it is simple, and you seem like such a kind person. Why do you think Jesus came? What are we going to do with Jesus, though? What is his part in this whole story? And she looked right at me, and she said, I am no longer comfortable with this conversation. And I just thought, Lord, that was you just saying it was on offer, and that's our part, to just offer what God is offering. And I just thought, I think lots of the world is stuck in law and grace, right? And I just wanted to say this clearly so that we could fully come over and be convinced that we are fully righteous before God, to be righteousness conscious and not sin conscious. Okay. All right. Now we know that rest is not freedom from trials. Have we lived long enough to know that? That in this world, there will be tribulations. Behold, I've overcome the world. There's going to be tribulations and troubles. But surely God has told us that there is this place of rest that we can live from. And the first thing that I wanted to talk about was that first step is grace. Okay. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, we want to rightly divide the word of God, and that means to divide between what's law and what's grace, and we live in grace. We walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another because that blood of Jesus is constantly cleansing us. Like we said, that cleansing is going on at all times. Okay. I heard this thing one time that a pig and a sheep can both fall in the mud and they look exactly the same. The difference would be is that the sheep wants to get out and be clean and the pig loves to be in the mud. And so sometimes we might look just like the world because we're struggling through something. The difference is our heart is we want to be cleansed, right? And right before God. Ironically, this last week I was in rest and then a situation happened that took me out of rest. And what I have grown in that situation is that God always has strategy when you come out, when you're out of rest. Have you ever had something that came into your life and it just like dysregulated everything in that moment? It could be something that triggered you, a past memory, something someone says, a doctor's report, something that takes you out of being regulated. And something I've grown in is that when I am praying the problems, when I'm like, God, here's the problem, and I'm telling God what that problem is, all of a sudden, my anxiety is going out the wazoo, and I am totally dysregulated because I am thinking about that problem while I'm praying it. Have you ever had that problem before where you're like, I need to stop praying because I keep thinking about this problem, and now I'm more messed up? And so a strategy I've learned of rest is that instead of talking about the problem, I'm praying promises into that problem. So today, the day that I got out of rest, I was like, okay, I know the strategy with God. It's kind of like the strategy David had. I hide in the cleft of the rock until God tells me the next thing. I'm just going to hide. I'm not going to go out there where the enemy is. And I started like going, All things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purposes. Goodness and mercy are following me and my family all the days of my life. God is able to do immeasurable. And I was just like chanting in my being things that I know to be true. And that was my prayer to God. And when I woke up the next day, I was like, God, I felt like the Lord said, strategy. Only pray in the morning and not throughout the day. Have you ever had something that like, let's pray again. And it's only 9:30 and you've already prayed four times for it. And it's taking over your whole day in a terrible way. I'm like, strategy. Praying right now, trusting God, moving on. I'm not praying before bed, and I'm praying the word. So I think part of rest also is strategy, like knowing how you work and knowing how the enemy works and getting into that place of peace. I also have read a book recently that I thought played into this too. It's a man, John Eldridge, which most of you know. He has a book called Experiencing Jesus Really. Have you heard of it? Anyone reading that book?
Such a good one.
Okay. He says, what are we being disciplined in? Are we discipleships of the internet? He had my attention. Because the internet is shaping our mind, soul, and being if we are being discipled in it. Do our daily processes of kingdom rhythms include quiet moments, seeking, waiting, trusting, letting go? These bring us rest as opposed to a constant bombardment of news, social media, constant information. I was like, that's me. And that's our culture. He said, a friend said to him, it's not necessarily what are we doing, what has been done to us. Well, now we are participating with it, but I don't think we knew all that we were getting involved in with this whole internet when it started. Would you agree? We didn't know what this was going to turn into. And so he's saying, we need to make sure that we are to be in rest. We need to be disciples of Jesus. He said, the ancient people planted in the spring, harvested it in the fall. He said, and they knew it. There was something to be waited for. That's not in our culture. He said, so our beings get so wound up and don't live in the rhythms of God because we have microwaves and we have the internet. And are you connecting with this? I was like, my being has totally been affected by the internet. When we went to Africa, as soon as we got there, we went to a restaurant and there we ordered chicken. Okay. And there was all kinds of sounds going on in that kitchen. You know, and all of this, like the whole, you're like, this is gonna be some fresh chicken. And we waited literally, do you think we waited 2 hours? Hour and a half, okay. And so we waited and waited. I'm not used to waiting, are you? I'm like, okay, give me that already cooked chicken. Let me put it in for 3 minutes and eat it. And they brought it out, and literally there were 2 bites on that piece of chicken. I mean, it was just like, oh, wait, that's the bone. But like, I was like, the other parts of the world live in a different pace than we do. And whether we realize it or not, we have been affected by this, so we consciously need to have kingdom rhythms to be in rest. Also, the internet changes constantly, right? It's good to eat eggs tomorrow. It is actually so bad for you to eat eggs. It's good to wear sunscreen, but actually, no. We should be wearing hats and getting some sunlight to get our vitamin D. Like, it's changing constantly. And so, is our being changed to think nothing is absolute? It could change tomorrow. We live in this world where everything's always changing. And to reorient ourselves in a quietness with God to go, he's never changing. This word is forever true. I can live in rest no matter what the other parts of my world are like. That is not God. And I don't want to be trained in that. There are absolutes in God. Yesterday, today, forever, he's the same. And let's not even get into social media, which I think is fun. But is it discipling us to care more about the outward than the inward? Would be my concern, even about all of us, you know. And Jesus has strong words to say about that. Don't clean the outside of the cup and neglect the inside. And so staying in rest is getting kingdom rhythms and learning how to use things out there that take us out of rhythm. All right. Last enemy of rest that I'm going to talk about is, how about this one? considering thoughts that come from darkness. Okay, this is taken from John 10, and you guys are very familiar with this. Listen to this eternal truth. The person who sneaks over the wall to enter into the sheep pen rather than coming through the gate reveals himself as a thief coming to steal. I want you to think about this in the aspect of being your thoughts. Thoughts that are not from the Lord are like that thief that climbs over the wall and intrudes into your life with its presence, with its fierceness, with its what ifs. And the next one says, but the true shepherd walks right up to the gate, and because the gatekeeper knows who he is, he opens the gate and lets him in. And the sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd, for he calls his own by name and leads them out, for they belong to him. And when he has brought out all his sheep, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him, for they're familiar with his voice because of their rest and kingdom rhythms. But they will run away from strangers and never follow them because they know it's the voice of a stranger. I was pondering this, that when God is coming to tell me something, it feels like he's being invited in. He comes in with a good presence, right? He's trying to relieve that pressure valve that I have going. And the enemy comes to bring that pressure. And I do believe that God is wanting me, all of us, to grow in a place where we are able to take thoughts and sort them like socks or mail. Just like, yes, that one. I'll take that one. This was confirmed to me years ago. We moved into this house on Olivet Church Road, and the address was 2340 Olivet Church Road. And those numbers stood out to me when we moved in there. I felt like the Lord had something in those numbers. And so I wrote in my journal one day, I said, 2-3 is my birth date. August 23rd is my birth date. And I said, God, I pray, I'm writing in my journal, I pray that in this house something would be birthed in me. And the number 40 means the end of a thing. Something would be birthed in me that would be the end of me listening to the voice of fear and following it and making sure it wasn't true and letting it torment me. And today, and I use that word all of it, I said, I give you all of it to do in my heart. And I wrote that all in my journal. Okay. And so, like, a long time goes by, and we're driving down a road one day, and all of a sudden, this fear just goes, whoop, it came over the wall and went right into my heart, and all of a sudden, I'm dysregulated. I'm like, oh, what if that did happen? Oh, that would be really awful if that happened. And all of a sudden, I'm churning. Does anyone know this feeling? I'm like, oh, no. Okay, now, Debbie. And so then my spirit rose up, and I went, I'm not only going to not listen to this fear, I'm not going to listen to anything that comes from fear like that. Lord, I give you, and as I said, I kid you not, I'm in a neighborhood I've never been in before. We're going to pick up one of our sons. I said, I give you, and I didn't mean to say all of it, like all of it church, but I said, I give you all of it. And right then, my mind, my eyes were drawn to this mailbox, and it said 2340. I said to Matt, what is our address? And he goes, 2340. I was like, I got to tell you what just happened to me. And I was like, the Lord was just saying, you're right, stay on that path. When that terror comes and that what if, and it tries to take you down that road, you're not going there. And that has been such a key for me, because I used to think that voice was trying to help me, that I needed to figure out everything it had to say and live in torment until it all got worked out. One more story. You okay for one more? Okay. I told you about this hiding place that I've been learning to do, and I'm so sloppy in it. I'm in the hiding place, I'm out getting beat up, and I'm coming back in, and I'm learning in all this, and so are all of us, right? We're learning who we are, and we're learning how to rest in the Lord. And so 18 years ago, I went for a breast exam, and I found a lump in my breast and a bump. I like to call it a bump, because lump feels serious, but bump feels like a bump. And so I found a bump in my my breast, and I went, and they were like, let's do a scan. They did a scan. They said, we need to do a biopsy. Okay. I had all my five little kids. Andrew was like 3 years old, then all the way up to 10 years old, all five of my kids. And we're driving on, we went on vacation the next day. And so on the vacation, I couldn't get myself regulated. I was thinking about this thing, you know. And one day during breakfast, like 2 days into the vacation, I don't know why God uses numbers with me. Some of you might have the same things going on, but I'm cooking breakfast, and this thing is trying to talk to me, and I'm trying to stay above and not beneath, head and not the tail, you know, and all those things that are so real. And I look at the clock, and it says 7:47, and I go, God, just like a 7:47 rises above, I rise above this circumstance right now, and I'm going to believe you totally have me in this situation, and I need to know nothing right now. And as I continued making breakfast, I could feel grace and this thing kind of lifting from me. And I gathered all the kids. We were taking them to, remember vacations when your kids were little? They were so exhausting. We gathered all the kids. We were going to take them all to the beach. Then we take them back and eat lunch. Then we clean up. Then we went to the pool. And then we come home. Do you remember these days? It's like, oh my gosh, this is so much work. And we're taking all the kids to the beach, and all my kids had gotten the sticker book with these airplanes in it, and they had stuck all these stickers all over this beach house that was not ours. And I didn't even care. I was like, God, look at you with this 740, all these planes on here. And it was just like a confirmation of like, you were on the right track. Okay, I'm almost done with this story. Fast forward to 2 years ago, the same thing happens. I find a bump in one of my breasts, and I go to the doctor, and I have to have all these tests done. And this goes over a bunch of months because I can't determine if it's okay or not. And then I had an MRI. Then they said, let's just do a biopsy. Okay. So I'm in the same a similar situation. And so I'm trying to, I know the enemy wants to talk to me in this way. I'm a little more mature and I'm hiding. The next day's the MRI. And we're driving down this road and there's an accident down the road, so we have to take a side road to neighborhoods that I never had been on before. And I'm driving with Matt, and I'm staying above. This thing's wanting to talk to me. I'm not talking. And I hear this thing rise up in me. Look at that house down there. Its address is 747. I was like, I hadn't looked at one address while we were driving. I was like, Matt, can you slow down? He's like, okay. You slow down. 747, real big, on that exact house that was down the road. And I was like, I'm not getting that biopsy tomorrow. And Matt's like, what? I was like, everything's fine. He goes, we're still going to go through with it. We're still going to do the thing. Blah, blah, blah. And everything turned out really fine. But the goodness of God, when God says, my sheep know my voice, he has a way of speaking. And I always thought he would go, everything's okay. But he this is what he has done. Have you experienced some of these things where you just look at these promptings and you're like, oh my goodness, this is God, me, the goofball me. God is speaking to me. This is amazing. And he knows me, and he cares, and he's listening. Are you amazed at this as I am? Thanks for listening to me today. I feel so privileged and grateful to be a part of this family with y'all, that we were born at this time, and God brought us all together to grow together. I really love y'all. Have a great Mother's Day.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.